content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas, and this is by Bob Polomsky. And we were in March, we had started March, and we left off with determining how many perennials you needed to plant in an area. And I didn't explain it, I don't think, as well. So here's a chart, and the chart gives you a value that you will put. It's called a space multiplier, and you'll put that into an equation that I'll give you in a moment. But to get the space multiplier, for if you want to space your plants, your perennials, 12 inches apart, use 1. If you want to space them 15 inches apart, you'll use the number 0.64. If you want to space them 18 inches apart, use the number 0.44. For 24 inches apart, use 0.25. And for 36 inches apart, use 0.11. And so that's called the space multiplier. And to determine the number of plants needed, you use this equation. The area of the bed, which was, again, the area was the length times the width. And then you multiply that by the spacing multiplier that, depending upon the space, the inches that you want each plant to be distanced from. And that will equal the total number of plants. For example, for 15 inches apart, I gave you the number 0.64. And suppose the area is 48 square feet. So you take that area, 48 square feet, times that multiplier number, 0.64. And that equals 31. So you space 31 perennials 15 inches apart to occupy a 48 square foot bed. And you can replay this if you need to listen to it a little more. Okay, I hope that made that clearer. And we're starting with roses, and this is the planning for roses. Plan to go vertical with climbing roses. Use existing structures in your landscape, such as lampposts, clothesline posts, or porch columns. You can even sink an 8-foot pressure-treated 4x4 about 18 inches into the ground and train a climber onto it. Or link 2 or 3 posts together with chain or heavy rope to create a festoon. For shrubs, dense shrubs should not be planted close to the foundation or siding, or in front of foundation vents, because they can obstruct airflow around and beneath your home, which can lead to moisture problems. Plan to prune these shrubs or move them to another area in the landscape. If you move them to south or west-facing walls to insulate your home from summer's heat, keep them away from foundation vents and at least 4 feet from the foundation. Keep shrubs away from the compressor on your split-system air conditioner. While the shade cast by the shrubs can reduce energy consumption, They should be planted far enough away so they won't obstruct airflow or service. For trees, the first Friday following March 15th is Arbor Day in North Carolina. Plan to plant a tree or support an organization that does. Vines and ground covers. Strawberries can make an uncommon ground cover for edging walkways or flower beds in full sun or part shade. Alpine strawberries are attractive ground-hugging choices, particularly improved Rügen and Semper Florens. But when you want big, luscious strawberries on your cereal in the morning, you need to grow the cultivated strawberry. Although not as compact or as contained as alpines, each plant can be expected to bear a quart of homegrown berries. Select strawberry varieties that are June bearers or single croppers. These short day plants develop flower buds in the short days of the fall and produce one heavy crop in April in the coastal plain and May in the Piedmont and mountains. June bearer is a bit of a misnomer. During the long days of summer, they produce above-ground runners called stolons. Coastal plain gardeners can plant June bearers from November to March, and Piedmont and mountain gardeners can plant during March or April. Plan to purchase June-bearing varieties for early, mid, and late summer harvests. Contact your county cooperative extension service office for the recommended varieties for your area. Strawberries are not permanent ground covers because they have to be replaced every 2 or 3 years. But they do add a whole new edible dimension to ground cover planting. Water gardens. If you're planning on introducing fish to your water garden, spend some time this month learning more about them. Visit your public library, visit water specialty centers, read mail order catalogs, and talk to other water gardeners. Not only do fish add ornamental interest and movement, but they'll improve water quality as they feast on mosquitoes and their larvae, algae, and plant debris. The plants will be fertilized by the waste created by the fish, and the submerged plants will use the carbon dioxide they exhale to produce oxygen. Many different kinds of fish are available, such as the typical goldfish in a bowl variety, which can grow up to a foot in length in ponds, long-lived colorful koi, speedy golden orphix, and mosquito fish. If you lack experience and confidence with fish, start small with a few inexpensive goldfish. As you sharpen your water gardening skills, you can add more fish later. And our next topic is plant. And this is to planting for annuals. Cool season annuals to plant outside now in the Piedmont and mountains include alyssum, calendula, pansies, snapdragons, and viola. Delay planting seeds of other annuals outside, except for the hardy ones that like to sprout in cool weather. These include alyssum, calliopeesis, or annual coreopeesis, larkspur, poppies, and sweet William. Plant this month in the coastal plains, next month in the Piedmont, and the month after that in the mountains. For bulbs, if you receive an amaryllis over the holidays, move it to a permanent location outdoors in the garden if you live in zone 7 or warmer, and if you keep it mulched during the winter months. After the last spring frost, plant your amaryllis in a well-drained, fertile site in full sun to partial shade. The neck of the bulb where the leaves emerge should be 2 to 4 inches below the soil surface. Mulch with a 2 to 3 inch layer of compost to conserve moisture and suppress weed growth. Make a single application of a slow-release complete fertilizer after planting, and then in subsequent springs when the shoots appear. Expect your amaryllis to bloom every year in early summer. Edibles. Indoors in the mountains, sow basil, chives, parsley, summer savory, and sweet marjoram. To encourage parsley seeds to sprout more rapidly, soften the seeds by soaking them overnight in warm water. Indoors, mountain gardeners can also sow seeds of broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower for transplanting within 6 to 8 weeks. Piedmont gardeners can sow warm season vegetables in flats or trays. Try eggplant. New Zealand spinach, a heat-tolerant substitute for spinach, peppers, and tomatoes. Vegetables that resent any root disturbance, such as cucumbers, muskmelon, summer squash, and watermelon, should be sown in individual pots or peat pellets. Avoid sowing seeds too early, or they may be ready for transplanting before outdoor conditions permit. Sweet potatoes are started from slips, shoots that sprouted from last year's crop. Purchase them as transplants or start your own by placing a sweet potato in a glass half filled with water. Place it in bright light. Detach the plants from the mother root when they are 6 to 8 inches long. Pot them up and then plant them in the garden about 3 weeks after the last freeze. In the coastal plain, plant perennial herbs such as chives, oregano, and thyme when they become available in garden centers. Coastal plain and Piedmont gardeners can sow parsley and dill. Sow beets and Swiss chard in the coastal plain and Piedmont. Because each seed is actually a dried fruit containing up to 6 seeds, expect a cluster of seedlings to emerge. When their first true leaves appear, thin the bunches by pinching off the extra seedlings near ground level. In coastal areas after the last freeze, set out eggplant, onions, peppers, and tomatoes, but be prepared to cover them in case of a last freeze. Be careful when purchasing tomatoes or pepper transplants that are already in bloom. Once the plant starts flowering, it is forced into the dual responsibility of maintaining flowers and trying to produce roots. It will concentrate on fruiting rather than growing. The end result will be a small plant that bears little fruit. You're always better off planting one that's not in bloom. Sow seeds of butter beans, lima beans, pole beans, snap beans, sweet corn, summer squash, and watermelon. Piedmont gardeners can buy seed potatoes and cut them into egg-sized pieces containing one or two eyes. Allow the cuts to dry and callus for a day or two before planting. Plant them when the soil temperature remains above 50 degrees Fahrenheit. In the Piedmont and mountains, plant asparagus crowns before new growth emerges from the buds. Set out transplants of broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower as well, up to 4 weeks before the last spring freeze. Sow seeds of carrots, lettuce, leaf and head, garden peas, mustard, radishes, rutabaga, and spinach. Mountain gardeners can sow mustard, garden peas, radishes, spinach, and turnips. And now for lawns. Wait until next month to plant warm season grasses. If you didn't seed thin or bare patches of cool season grasses last fall, which is the best time to seed Kentucky bluegrass and tall fescue, you can attempt to seed now. However, be prepared to accept some losses. Cool season grasses prefer cool temperatures, especially for seed germination. And the longer you delay seeding, the less time the seedlings will have to become established before the arrival of summer's heat. And be mindful that what you do for your lawn grass seedlings will also benefit emerging weeds. Even if you get a fairly good stand, you'll have a long road ahead to keep the young lawn alive during the summer months. If you can justify the expense, install tall fescue or Kentucky bluegrass sod. You'll need plenty of water to help it through the summer. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, plant perennials when they become available from local nurseries or when they arrive in the mail from catalog orders. Plant dormant bare root plants soon after receiving them. Dig up, divide, and replant established perennials if they've become too crowded and flowering has been sparse. Some fast-growing perennials need to be divided between 1 to 2 years after planting. These include aster, astilbe, bee balm, boltonia, garden mums, garden phlox, and rudbeckia. Shasta daisies, and many others. To avoid interrupting flowering, dig up summer and fall blooming perennials when the new growth is a few inches high. Divide ornamental grasses before new growth emerges. Cut back the old culms to within 4 to 6 inches of the ground and use a sharp shovel or large knife to slice one or more wedges out of the crown. Immediately plant them elsewhere. Uncover the trays or pots overwintered outdoors and move them to a cold frame for protection from freezing temperatures. The perennial seedlings will emerge over a range of weeks, sometimes longer. Transplant tray-grown seedlings to individual pots after they've developed one or two sets of true leaves. And for roses, plant potted roses when they become available in the Piedmont and coastal plain. Plant them as early as possible to get them settled in before summer's heat and humidity arrive. In the mountains, plant dormant bare root roses about 4 weeks before the last expected freeze. At the higher elevations in North Carolina mountains, where the temperature may drop to 0 degrees Fahrenheit, wait until after the last freeze before planting. Shrubs, trees, and vines and ground cover. Plant bald and burlapped or container-grown plants. Birch, black gum, dogwood, fir, hickory, magnolia, pecan, red oak, and walnut are best moved and planted in early spring while they're still dormant. Plant them as early in the season as possible to help them get established before the heat of summer begins. Avoid two common mistakes: over and under watering. A few weeks after planting, start cutting back on watering to every few days or longer, especially with cloudy, rainy, or cool weather. Also, remove any berms you create to prevent excess water. Eventually, water on a weekly or as-needed basis by testing the soil and root ball for moisture. And shrubs. Propagate shrubs with long pliable stems, such as forsythia and winter jasmine, or difficult-to-root plants, such as rhododendron, by ground layering. For water gardens, plant aquatics in nursery pots, laundry baskets, shallow pans, and large tubs. Use a heavy clay-based garden soil. Avoid amending it with peat moss, vermiculite, or perlite, which tend to float away. Submerged plants can be planted in containers filled with sand or tied to a stone so they're kept just below the water surface. After you pot up your plant, add a 1-inch layer of pea or aquarium gravel on the surface to prevent the soil from mudding up the water. Before submersing the container, water it thoroughly and then place it in the pool. In the warmer parts of the Carolinas, hardy water lilies may need to be divided every year or two. They can be divided at any time during the growing season, starting 6 weeks before the last expected freeze. And here's how. Lift the pot out of the pool and take the clump out of the pot. Look along the length of the rhizome for buds or growing points called eyes. Tiny lime green or bronze leaves may be emerging from the growing point. With a sharp knife or pruning shears, cut sections of the rhizome into 3 to 4-inch long pieces or divisions that have eyes and accompanying roots. Repot the division making sure that the growing point is above the soil level. And divide both Asian and American lotus at the same time you divide hardy water lilies. About a month before the last expected freeze, check to see if the tropical water lilies you stored indoors over the winter have sprouted. If they haven't, put the tubers in water near a sunny windowsill to coerce them into growth. Once they've sprouted, pot them up in temporary pots. And here's the next topic is care. For annuals, pinch out the growing tips of plants that have become rangy. They will branch from below the pinch and regain their bushy form. Cut off dead blooms to encourage continued flowering of pansies. For bulbs, after flowering, the leaves of your spring flowering bulbs will turn an unsightly yellow. Temper your urge to remove the leaves or braid them into attractive ponytails. The bulbs need the leaves to harvest energy that's channeled to the bulb for next year's flowers. Bulbs that were forced indoors can be fertilized while in bloom and then planted in your garden to allow the leaves to mature and replenish the bulb. Expect the bulbs to flower again next year. Snip off the spent blooms of spring flowering bulbs to prevent seed pods from forming. If you expect them to repeat their show next spring, allow leaves to mature and die down naturally before removing. Unless the leaves have an opportunity to store a good supply of carbohydrates and nutrients in the underground bulb, the plants won't flower next year. We've run out of time for today's episode, of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And we will continue next podcast with the care of lawns and roses and perennials. Thank you for listening.